You're listening to
the Music Interval Theory Podcast with TC and Frank.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Music Interval Theory Podcast. I'm so glad you're here with me again today. In this episode, we'll explore how to blend interval theory with the diatonic system in a way that makes your music feel natural and organic. I want to talk about something that came up during a conversation I had with one of our Academy members, John. He mentioned that it's often challenging to blend interval theory with the diatonic system naturally when you're just starting out. You see, when people first discover interval theory, a way of thinking about music that focuses on intervals between notes rather than traditional harmony, they often do everything they can to move away from the diatonic framework, which is the familiar system of seven note scales used in most Western music. It's new, it's exciting, and it feels like a whole new playground to explore, and that's totally understandable. But here's the thing, interval theory isn't meant to replace the diatonic system, but to make it more versatile and useful. The diatonic system has been around for centuries, and there's a reason for that. It works. It helps us express emotions, like using a major key to convey happiness or a minor key to express sadness. And it's a powerful way to communicate through music. So we shouldn't ignore it. But I know that when composers find a new system, it's easy to forget about everything else for a while. When I first got into interval theory almost 20 years ago, I spent a lot of time experimenting. I wrote countless pieces based on new experimental concepts just to see if they worked for composition. Honestly, most of those exercises were never meant to be shared with the world, and they probably wouldn't have had much of an audience anyway. But would I say that time was wasted? Definitely not. The writing process is so important, even when things don't quite work out. Let me share a funny story with you. Once I tried to use some clusters, groups of closely spaced notes played together to create a dense, dissonant sound in a piece I was working on. I had all these great ideas, but when I played them on the piano, it just sounded like a mess. Around that time, my daughter was born, and she liked to play the piano too, although it was more like a battle with the keys to see who could be the loudest. After my cluster experiment didn't go well, I moved on to something else, but I kept that piece. I ended up calling it Baby Plays Piano Clusters and put it in my library music catalog, a collection of music pieces available for licensing, not expecting anything from it. For the next 4 years, nothing happened. I pretty much forgot about it. But then, out of nowhere, it showed up in my sales report. Someone had actually licensed it for a pretty big project, and it made some money. It was a great reminder that even the pieces you think are just exercises can have value down the road. Over time, I realized that going completely against the diatonic system often results in music that appeals to a very niche audience, like avant-garde music enthusiasts or those who enjoy highly experimental sounds. So I started focusing on finding moments in diatonic compositions where a touch of interval theory could really add something special, like in transitions, intros, endings, or even entire sections. I like to think of interval theory and diatonic writing as a pendulum that swings back and forth, with each approach offering something valuable, depending on the musical context and mood you're aiming for. Neither one is the holy grail of composition on its own. The magic lies in balancing familiar elements with freshness and originality from interval theory. And it takes time and practice to bring these two approaches together. And I think it's important to explore the extremes to understand all the possibilities. But in the end, it's about staying in motion, always learning and growing. Every experiment and every piece you write is an investment in your skills as a composer. Whether you lean more towards the diatonic sound or use more interval theory, it's all about finding your unique voice as an artist and making those choices intentionally. I hope this episode helps you see how interval theory can add some new colors to your music and maybe even give you some ideas for your next steps. Keep experimenting, keep finding your own balance, and most of all, keep enjoying the journey. And now I actually want to show you a portion of the cluster piece I talked about earlier. It won't impress you, but hopefully it will make you smile. So let's roll. I know this is weird, and from my current point of view, I have to admit that the educational value coming from this piece is minor. But still, it serves as a reminder for me that music always is embedded in context. So keep pushing the boundaries for yourself. Okay, let's stop this. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Frank, and I hope you'll join me again for the next episode of the Music Interval Theory podcast. Have a wonderful day, and best always.
This podcast is powered by the Music Interval Theory Academy, your resource for getting clarity and confidence in music composition and orchestration. See you inside at musicintervaltheory.academy.